What? Page 58. Page 58. We have the page 58. We're middle perek zayin. We have the pasuk tezvav. Hine yichabel oven v'hora amol v'yolat shoker. We discussed this in great length. We're not going to repeat that right now. I'll turn on the microphone. Went to the microphone. There it is. Turn down the sound a little bit. It's good. Yeah, but a little bit some feedback. You said. Okay, here we go. So wrapped over here is that yichabel, the wicked person is yichabel oven. We have two perushim. A machlokes between Rashi and the Metzudas. Let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Tezayin. But we only learned two. But you know, you could learn probably 10 perushim. But we can't spend all that time. We have to be very selective because otherwise we'll never move ahead here. Pasuk Tezayin bar kora vayach pirehu. Very interesting selection of words. One of the best things about learning Tehillim is you learn vocabulary. It's a very good lesson in vocabulary. Because Tehillim has quite a rich selection of words in rapid succession. You know, when you learn Nach, of course there's new vocabulary, but there's a lot of stories. There are stories, there is discussion. So you'll come across a new word here and there every like two, three psukim. But here, mamish, every single pasuk is written. Quotes from Tehillim. Excellent. Fantastic. That's very true. When Rashi quotes the definition of words, he's saying a very interesting idea. It's more often than not from Tehillim. More so, making a statistical analysis of when Rashi quotes Pesukim right and left, hundreds of times. Where does he, what is the majority? Ramchal is saying the majority appears to be clearly Tehillim is his choice to find a new word. You want to find the meaning, you look first in Tehillim. If you can't find it in Tehillim,
he was talking about saying Tehillim over and over and over.
Rashi knew everything. Everything, the whole cause
of
Rakula.
Of course everything was, but
you actually say it. It's part of the Nusach HaTfilah, part of the Seder Hayom. So it's he's saying an incredible Yisod of Rakula, is that when Rashi wants to define a word elsewhere, his first choice is Tehillim. And if he can't find something appropriate in Tehillim, then he goes to other places. Right. You have to keep that in mind. So here, the maila of learning Tehillim is that the Pesukim are all, came out every single Mizmar, it's condensed. There's no elaboration, all the filler in material.
Well, it could be the people were also versed in Tehillim. So you wanted to bring Pesukim that the people...
Okay, Mordechai is saying very good. The people...
You still have to find comparison.
Right, you have to find comparison. So people who are reading it, they also familiar, that helps them
probably
as well.
Tehillim was next to Chamisha Chum Shefer, was the most available...
Most available book. After Chumash, Tehillim was the most available book, the most common book to the common man.
The
Haggadah? I don't know. Haggadah is a much more modern book.
They said there were more manuscript copies of Haggadah every year. You know, like
the Haggadah is the
new Haggadahs come out.
The Haggadah is the perfect book, perfect sefer to use as a springboard to bring out the ideas of a person. Like I know my own family. So my great grandfather wrote a lot of svarim. He wrote on the Chamish Shechum Shetara. The truth is that it was lost in the war. The last two volumes, half of Amidbar and Devarim was gone. When he ran for his life, he gave it away to a person that he thought he could trust.
Well,
it was not printed. He printed in his lifetime Bereishis, Shemois, Vayikra, and half of Bamidbar. He printed. And it was very popular. It was a very well-accepted sefer, still is, Hadrash V'Iyun. And then he had the manuscripts all ready to go for the other half of Bamidbar, for Devarim, and on the Chumash Megillos. And he published in his lifetime a sefer, She'elus Tshuvos. And he had a second volume all ready to go. And he gave the second volume of Avnei Chefetz and of half of Bamidbar and Devarim to a person that he thought he could trust. And he ran for his life. And when the war, he was killed. Okay, they chased him down. He was a target. He was a rabbiner. He was target number one for the Nazis. They assassinated him.
And an official.
and an official. He was a member of parliament, of the Polish Sejm. And he was together with Rav Meir Shapiro. Rav Meir Shapiro was much younger than him. And I actually have in the house, I have actually letters from Rav Meir Shapiro. Much before the war. Rav Meir Shapiro died very young. Rav Meir Shapiro died before the war, but my grandfather outlived him. And I have at home actually handwritten letters from Rav Meir Shapiro to my great-grandfather. It's all about what? I have it, yeah. It's actually on the website. I have a memorial website for my father. And I think it's there. I think it's called AaronLevine.info. AaronLevine.info, and there the letters are there. The letters are basically matters of collecting money, to collect money for poor people and for thing people. It's all about collecting money and solutions and ideas how to collect money. It's all about that. And he was killed. And my grandfather went back after the war searching for the manuscripts. And my grandfather told me that he turned over no stone was left unturned. There's nothing, he searched to the nth degree to find
his manuscripts. Was this person still alive also?
I don't know the story, I don't know. And couldn't find it. And we have not given up hope. Maybe one day we'll find it. So why am I telling you this?
Don't give up hope.
Definitely not.
I told you this story 50 years after my great-grandfather also came to America to publish a sefer, and my brother went into a shul because the Rav had died, Rav Harness died on 16th Avenue. My father said, go in there, there's Seamus there, but this was probably something, you'll never know what you find.
You'll never know.
He found my great-grandfather's what he came to publish with his Xavianovich.
The manuscript.
It was 50 years across the street from us.
Wow.
50 years, and we didn't even know that he passed through that shul. We went through history with a couple other people, and we found out that he did, and it was him.
You never know. You never, ever know.
That's like the story with Menachem and Rose, and they
had this thing. Never
yeah, right. That was a little more devious, that
Let's
story.
Use it.
That's a little, but why am I telling you this? Because over the years, I really have a cousin. He's really in charge of all this because he's a genius, and he has a library. He's into all these things, and so you know he very much wants to republish the Chodrash V'Ion with a whole new typeset and whole kinds of nice, the whole thing. But of course, the cost is astronomical. It's totally out of range what it would cost to do. So I always tell him, I really want to do this, but I just don't have the koyach and even the money for this. Let's put out a Haggadah, because a Haggadah is the perfect text that you can use to bring out the, they say in German, the Weltanschauung of the person, the outlook, the way of life, by being malakid his writings and arranging it lefi the seder Haggadah. Because in the Haggadah there is everything. And if you want to bring out a person's essence, a person's mindset, his hashkafa, the Haggadah is the perfect text to use as a base to attach to it a commentary of the person's hashkafa in life. And that's what people have done. That's why, exactly what Mordechai said, that's why if you go to the bookstore, there are literally thousands of Haggadahs, and many of them are works that the person who wrote the commentary, he never wrote a Haggadah. Never. He did whatever he did, but because he can't go print volumes and volumes, and not every sefer is so popular, every topic is so popular, so the way, what is popular is a Haggadah, and everything is in the Haggadah, and if you use the Haggadah as a base to bring out, it's one volume, and you can put in there whatever you want, that is something which has been proven to be extremely popular as a memorial or as a way of bringing forth. Look, the whole thing of Rav Meir, I don't know if Rav Meir didn't mention the Maral. Did the Maral ever write a Haggadah?
Of course
not. So that's very controversial. The Pashas is Rav Schneerlein is a very big expert on this topic, and the Pashas is not. How come then there's a Haggadah? There is a Haggadah from the Maral. It's a Likud. Who did? Who says? It doesn't say anywhere who did the Haggadah. Some claim that the Maral did write this Haggadah. So this is Rosenberg. Cut and paste job. Is that a fact?
Look at it. I mean,
Okay, so that's but the person who published it never claimed that he claimed that this is the manuscript of this. It's controversial. The person who published the Maral's Haggadah claims that the Maral wrote this Haggadah. He actually wrote this. Or he himself, he did the cut and paste job, the Maral. And what's controversial is there are chidushim there in the Haggadah that don't appear anywhere else, ideas that don't appear anywhere else, and many have challenged that this that what it says there, I think it's about the fifth kais. It could be one, it's one of the things. The Maral said he's also drinking a fifth kais. The fifth kais.
Yeah.
So I don't remember the details, but Maral says something about the fifth kais,
yeah,
which many claim is not true. The Maral never said this. Mm-hmm. And the person who published the Haggadah, he had an agenda. And he took the Maral, he made a liket of the Maral, mm-hmm, and he snuck in things that were to his part of his agenda. The same person who did this is the, yeah, person who wrote the, yeah, story of the Maral. The Maral made a Goyim, by the way.
Right. And other novels.
And we know Rabbi Shneur Lahman has basically proven beyond a shadow of a doubt, at least
I heard that lecture in person twice.
Right. No one is coming to say that the Maral couldn't make a Goyim, and he didn't make it. Maybe he did make a Goyim, but the story of how he made the Goyim is certainly fiction. No one's denying the fact that Maral was holy, sacred, and he could have made a golem. Maybe Yitzhak did make a golem. But the story of how he made the golem was really it's fiction. It's pure fiction. And it was written possibly as a children's story. And that Rabbi Shneur Lahman has done enormous research to prove that. And the problem, though, is the person who actually did this, he wasn't upfront about it. Wasn't as upfront as we would expect. So there's a lot of, you have to study this. This is a life work for the average person. Rosh Hashanah is just like, you know, pocket change to go through this whole sugya. But for someone like me, it would take years to comprehend all of the analysis and the research. Yeah. And Mechol have much greater appreciation of this.
What?
He certainly did. I mean, but this is just pocket change for him. He has chidushim on Kol HaTorah Kulo. He has chidushim on many things. For someone like me to understand this whole sugi, it would take years and years and years to appreciate what's going on. And he, you know, this is like a Tibur Shel Miyam. It's just one chapter in his work.
No one would go out of it and buy a new Haggadah.
Yeah.
Or buy a Haggadah. When he had it in a sitter or whatever, spend money. What's he going to spend?
That's right.
So much percentage of his income on Haggadahs? It doesn't...
It's a different world. It was a different world in those days.
You can't even
appreciate it.
You look at these Haggadahs, they're gilded and they're written very nicely.
It was an art.
They were expensive. They're only, you know, you had one for a family or whatever. And you had to order it, a special order, like you get a Megillah. Everybody goes out and buys a Megillah. You open the Chumash.
Right. So why am I telling you? This Mordechai triggered this idea because the truth is, the precursor to the Haggadah is Tehillim. It's the same thing. It's really the same thing. In fact, that the Tehillim is on a much more grand, a much greater scale than the Haggadah. The same way we can appreciate and we can see for ourselves, you go into the bookstore, you see the thousands of Haggadahs, and all of them, many of them are just a Likut. And all of them are just, they're using the Haggadah as a tool to bring out the values and the hashkaf of individuals. That is really what Tehillim is. Tehillim, much before the Haggadah existed, was the means to bring out a person's hashkaf. Because in Tehillim is everything about life. See, the Torah is the instruction guide. Tehillim is man's practice of the Torah. Like you said, there's the Torah, and the next most available book is Tehillim. That was always the way it was. Why? Because the Torah is Hashem's instruction book. Now, let's look at history of Jews actually living a life following the instruction guide, the instructions of the Torah. And sometimes look at the consequences of people who have failed to live their life according to the instructions of the Torah. That's Tehillim. Tehillim is the makabel of the instructions. There's the instructions. Let's now see how you did. Let's see how you lived your life according to the values and the instructions of the Torah. That's Tehillim. Tehillim is the other end. It's the receiving end. In any event, let's go further. Bar kar, so here I mentioned there are two words. Okay, we got into vocabulary discussion. Bar pit kora vayach pireu. There are two words for digging. This always is very confusing. There's the word kara means to dig, and the word vayach pireu is also to dig. What is the difference between these two words? So look at the Malbim. There are two geurim. There are always two perushim in the Mikrois Gedola is telling you to define the precise meaning of words. One is the Malbim on the left side, the Ber Hamilois, and the other is the Mitzudois Tzion. So the Malbim here says Bo Kora Vayach Pereu Kishabo Nirdafim Mitzayin. When we are describing those people who are being pursued, Mitzayin Bichriya. Hascholas hakriya. The chofar is the gemar ha-chafira. So it gives us the answer right here. This is something which I never heard this idea, never imagined. Kara means the hascholah. Chafir is the gemar. And he brings rayas. Vayichru sham avde yitzak be'er. They began to dig a well. Return Alayma, Sheskil Lichrois. The Oz, then, Gavmela Cholachela Migror, that was the end of the digging. They began to dig the bear, they began the Haskalah, and then later in the day they returned. We finished and we struck water. We didn't strike oil, we struck water. Water is more valuable. Water is life. Asher chafaru shegamru ha'chafir vayim lo yimotzon amoyim mimash akasad ki yichre ishbar. Then now this becomes a halachic in the Biyah halacha bavakama nizakin. It says that the person's ki yichre, if he begins to dig right now in Avim, it's clear there are no puddles. A person goes and he opens up the ground ki yichre ishbar lamdu the bar tishal nizakin ulchoyre. That's a different topic. But the point over here is that the Torah is coming, the person who opens up a bar for the very first time. If the bar already is dug and you deepen the bar, then that's called chafira. Then the halachas are different. There are different halachas to the person who digs the bar for the very first time, makes the opening, versus the person who deepens the bar with lashon of chafira. Okay. So therefore, we have over here two very big bar kara. The Rasha, he begins to dig the bar. Vayach pireu, he finishes digging the bar. How many pesukim are there in Tanakh where, with regard to a bar, both words are juxtaposed in rapid succession? The haschala, and the gemar. Vayipol b'shachas yifol. And he falls in the pit that he has created. Now this is very interesting because over here the way the word Yifal is translated in Pasuk Tezayin, Mechara would be the same translation as is translated in Pasuk Yud Dalit. And we learn there two Perushim, we only believe in the Mitzvus and Rashi, and there it was interesting that Yifal, according to one of the interpretations, it means Chitzav Ladolkim Yifol, the arrows he created for Ladolkim, and the other interpretation was he shot. We have two interpretations for the word Yifol in Pasuk Yudalit in regard to arrows. According to one interpretation, it means the arrows that the Rasha created. He went to manufacture ammunition. The other interpretation was he shot. Yifal means to put into motion, a pu'ula. He pressed the trigger and the arrow shot. If you're going to learn the word Yifal means that he put into motion, he shot the arrows, that would be inconsistent with the word Yifal here in Pasuk Tezayin. Because Pasuk Tezayin, Yifal, there's no ammunition. There is no ammunition regarding a pit. When it comes to a weapon, a bow and arrow, so then shooting the trigger. when you shoot, when you press the trigger, that means Yifol. Here it means he created. He created the pit that he created. He himself fell into that pit.
Yeah, he translates them both as he made.
So that's it. This is very interesting. We have this in Chumash sometimes, is where you have the same exact word in rapid succession. Does that demand that the translation be consistent? And not necessarily. So if you would say, oh, you know, you get the Pulitzer Prize for English literature, does it have to mean that the way you use the word, you have rapid succession, you're going to use the word exactly the same way? Not necessarily. In Pasuk Yudal, the word Yifol can mean he pressed the trigger and the arrow went into motion. Here the word Yifol means he created a pit. There is no sending going forth. It's just, it means you, the work of your handiwork. Let's see the Mitzvah is done.
The word Palal can mean to perform some kind of work, like to make something, or it could mean something becoming actual.
Action, coming to life. It all depends on how the word is used. Here it's with the yud and the nifal. Listen to Mitzvah Stav. Mitzvah Stav Pasuk.
If you look at the Targum, he actually uses two different translations.
Let's see.
That's very common.
Shuach hafar, shuach hapit, hafar, or nusach acher kira, the gamtze, he began to dig and he concluded, unifal b'shachasa da'ava, that he made. Da'avad.
Now,
go to Yudalim. Umetulte takein. Umetulte takein ziyone mosa. Okay, he prepared. Takein means he prepared utensils. That's ziyone. I'm not sure what that means. Mosa giroi the arrows lidolke against lidolke tzadikaya yabed. It's the same. It's really the same thing. I mean, I don't know. I think it seems to me that he's certainly the same in those two. He made arrows that he will use. He's referring to Hashem. Hashem over here is saying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to shoot the arrows against those that chase after the righteous people. That was the whole machlokes of what that pasuk means. All right, let's leave that for now. Anyway, let's see the Mitzvah Stavon over here for a moment. The Mitzvah Stavon over here says Bar Korah. The Mitzvah Stavon on page 59.
Not only that, but there's similar ideas.
Yes.
That the plot will backfire.
Right. That's the idea. Certainly similar. Is that a person digs his own grave? A person when he plans to harm someone else, he chooses only harming himself. Let's see the Mitzvah Stavon. Pasuk design Bar Korah Bezei Yifarish Hamikra Shelofanof V'Yemar. It's explained the previous pasuk. Hinei habar asher kara uvitchilo chashav l'chafer al mi, the pit that he dug, and was planning to use this pit as a weapon against somebody else. What happened? Azai, gimuloi asher bi'atzmo yipol bo. So the end will be that he himself will fall into the pit. The pit that he made, he will fall into. Let's see Rashi. Rashi does not comment on this pasuk. Let's see pasuk Yitzayin. Yoshuv amolav reshoi. Over here, saying that may his amoloi, his evil deeds, may they come upon him. The al kod kodoi, another good vocabulary word, means the skull, chamoso yered. It's a curse.
Yeah.
What is in the brachas?
Ulukod
kod nizirachov, the hear of his head.
Yosef.
Of the al kod kodoi, chamoso yered. Over here, there's a curse. The Rasha who plans and plots against the Tzaddik, may his amol means his toil, but in this context it means his evil plans, may come upon his own head and upon his skull, may chamosoy's violence yered. Mitzvah is still pasuk Yitzayin. It's on this page 60. Yoshuv amoloy he'amol shirotzol ases lizumah. So the amol that he wanted to do to someone else, Yoshuv al Roshoy, period. V'yal kod kodok chafal alav b'mil Roshoynes ulahas modosoy. Poetic repetition to indicate there's a consistency and there is repetition. Repetition in his evil plans. Okay, let's look over here. The Mitzvah Siyon. He translates precisely the word kod kod means what? He atzmo is horosh. Shom dir yicholek ha-se'or eloch ve'eloch. Is where the here separates. It is the center. Okay, this is a very interesting way of describing the head. The kotkol is the center of the head where the hair begins to spread in different directions. I don't know what that means. I have really no idea. What?
Part of the ear. This is the skull.
But it says there are two parts. This hair separates eloch the eloch. Two different directions.
This way up to your hairline.
No, he's not saying that. I think he's saying vertical. I think he's saying it's vertical either from ear to ear or from here to here. He seems to say something which I never heard before. You have to go and ask a scientist, a doctor, a scientist.
They discovered that the beard actually is actually two separate...
They're separate sides?
Two separate sides.
Okay, that's a beard. But here he's talking about the skull. He's saying it on the head. Their hairs to naturally go in different directions. Is there such a thing that on the head, there's a portion of the head where anything left of that mark, the hairs naturally are geared, are pointed towards one direction, and anything on the other side of that mark, of that line, the hairs are growing towards the other direction. I never heard of such a thing.
Well, on the sides of your head, your hair grows down. I mean, it doesn't, in other words, if your hair is
on
growing
the, on
down over here, it's not growing
on
the other side.
There's
a
swirl
up
over
the hair.
Rabbi Lazer is saying that you're going from ear to ear. Rabbi Lazer is saying that anything towards the front goes this way, anything towards the back goes the other way. And you go from ear to ear, there's an imaginary line from ear to ear. Anything in the front is the kotkoi, this is the laws of negoyim. And mesachta negoyim, the karachas v'gabachas. Okay, karachas v'gabachas, saying something very interesting. The karachas v'gabachas, there is some precedent to this. There is a bald spot, different halachas. So karachas v'gabachas, I don't remember anymore, but not that long ago, I spent a lot of time learning Masechta Negoyim. It's one of the hardest things I ever learned. Masechta Negoyim. I now have an appreciation of what it means. Klach lucha eitzel negoyim v'oyalos. The Gemara says, what are you getting involved in nonsense? Klach lucha Eitzel Negoim V'Oyhalois. It's one of the most difficult thing I learned. Very, very complicated. The sugis of the Negoim of the Mishnayis. And there, indeed, there is something called one of the Nige Harosh. Among the Nige Adam, there's Nige Harosh, and it's very, very complicated. And indeed, there is such a thing called the bald spot on the front of the head versus a bald spot on the back of the head. So if Lazer is saying is that there's an imaginary line that goes from ear to ear that separates the hair that goes forward and the hair that goes backwards. Ashrech of those people that have hair to understand the difference. But my response is always the same. Grass doesn't grow on busy streets. In any event, we have over here, okay, he's saying something right. The kotkoid is the emtsois, the center of the head. That's called the kotkoid. And then there's the roish. What's the roish? The roish is just the head, the whole head in its entirety. Let's see Rashi. Rashi, there is none. Next pasuk. Pasuk, is the Rambam here giving an explanation over here on these words? No, I don't see anything from the Rambam. Pasuk Yudches. Pasuk Yudches says, last pasuk, Oida Hashem kitzidkoid. May I thank Hashem according to his righteousness. Now, that's a very interesting expression. According to his righteousness, which basically means, this is an important, I will finish the pause, I will tell you the thought in a moment, and then, V'azamra Shem Hashem Elyon, I will sing to the name of Hashem Elyon, the upper, the name of Hashem that is Elyon, that is exalted. Let's see the mitzvah of it. Pasik Yud Ches, and the mitzvah says, it's on this page, page 60, in the middle, the mitzvah David. As is fitting. It is fitting to give thanks to Hashem on the righteousness of his din. Vazamira, I will sing. Ashabach, I will sing Bezemer, a song. Eshem Hashem, Loimar, She'oid Hu Elyoin. That he is still, that's not a nice word in this context. She'oid, that he is always Elyoin. Me'oid Na'ale. He is very much exalted, al kol hatish v'chois, above beyond all praises that we can possibly give to Hashem.
How can we judge that Hashem is b'tzedek and therefore I will thank him?
Or how could we? We are obligated, on our level.
You should say that Hashem always.
So first of all, the mitzvah really answers your question. The mitzvah over here says, look at one more time the word, gitzidkoi, that kasher roi, it is fitting. It is fitting Lahoida is to give thanks to Hashem al Hatzdokas Dinoi on the righteousness of his din, of his law.
Whether we understand it or not.
Correct.
Uh-huh.
Oh, correct.
Well, you know, it's interesting, the pasuk this week's parsha, what the Abravanel explains, is I went through a lot of tzaris in my life. I went through so many things and I would complain, but you don't have a right to judge God until your life is over, until the last day of your life.
Even
and
then.
Now, Elokim Aroh Me'odi Arayom Hazeh, until today, now that I died to save a tova, I could say,
but not everyone is zecher to that. There are people that died not to save a tova.
Yeah, but he's telling his children, don't, you know, it's not over yet, you know.
Okay.
He's just saying, don't be so fast to judge.
He merited such a thing. Not
right.
Everyone merits.
No, you're absolutely right. He's telling his kids, you know,
don't be so fast to judge Hashem.
Right.
Don't judge them. Hashem has a plan.
He says that's shot in the bus.
Hashem has the plan, and you have to humble yourself to Hashem's plan. Now let's just see Rashi, and then we'll tell you an idea, and then we'll see other things over here in this Mizmar. And tomorrow we'll go further, next Mizmar. But over here in Rashi, it says, Oide Hashem kitzitkoi kishayatzdik hadin hagomor, when Hashem will execute the complete din lishpoit harishoim kirishom, according to their wickedness. And Rashi is saying a whole volume of commentary over here. Is that Rashi is mechalek between a din gomor and a din that's not gomor.
Recording in progress.
Ooh, what's going on over here? I never had that before in the middle of the share. The computer to talk to has a mind of its own. Artificial intelligence. Okay? Oide es Hashem. Over here, Rashi alludes to a principle, a very deep principle in Hashkafa. This is something which is really a big, big topic. There's something called a din gomor and a din she'enoi gomor. There's a din that's gomor and a din that's not gomor. HaKadosh Baruch Hu at times, you see, punishes. And don't fool yourself in thinking, oh, if you see HaKadosh Baruch Hu went and he sent down a bolt of lightning and he punished, oh, Hashem has exercised his din. And that's it. So, no. There's a din gomor and a din that's not gomor. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu does indeed punish people in this world, and does indeed give reward to people in this world, don't make a mistake and think that's it. The din is complete. Like, you know, in court, when there's a law in secular court, that's it. Once the judge hands down the sentence, the jury comes back, and they decide what the law will be, that's it, it's over.
Then they appeal.
Okay, in America you have a right to appeal, but the chance, I mean, many times when the case is done very well, there's almost no chance of an appeal. You can apply for an appeal, it's not whatever, succeeding in the Court of Appeals is, I don't know what the statistics are, but it's not a celebrity case, okay? The chance of getting an appeal is usually very, very, very slim. But there's something called, or let's say you're denied, the Court of Appeals denies hearing the case. Right? Let's say it comes to a point in time, finished, done. That's it. So the law has been handed down, the sentence is such, the penalty is going to be such and such, whether it means the payment of money, whether it means it's going to be the prison term, that's it. And then the person does his time, he served, he did his time, finished. I did a crime, I got punished, I'm done. So we look at HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you see Rahman al-Sun, different things happen to people, a person himself, he suffers, whatever he suffers, and right away he's smart enough to attribute my suffering to a certain Avera, or whatever it is. Oh! I paid my debt. Okay, so when you've paid your debt, you're finished. No. Don't make a mistake and think that even when you witness in this world Mishpat, it's complete. There's more. There's a mishpat called Hadin HaGomor. And that only comes at the end of time. Hashem every so often shows a partial mishpat in order that his name should be elevated. People should be afraid, should recognize that this world is not a hefkervelt. And there's a Baal HaBira, But to say that what happens in this world is a din gamur, that does not always happen. Kisha yatzdik hadin hagamur, when I will thank Hashem kit sidkoi, so kit sidkoi, kit according to his righteousness, which Rashi learns the full righteousness, his righteousness, not the righteousness that we witness. See, Rashi over here is obviously coming, is very bothered by the chof hadinyoi, kit sidkoi. And also, why does it say kit sidkoi with the vav, like his righteousness? So Rashi is coming to say a novel idea, kishayatztik hadin hagamur, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu will exercise the din hagamur, lishpoit harishoim kirishasam, to punish, to judge the wicked according to the wickedness. And kit sidkoi means not today, in the future. In the future when it will be kit sidkoi. When Hashem now in this world does mishpat, it's not kit sidkoi, it's like kit sidki, like my righteousness. Because a human being is limited in being able to analyze a limited degree of punishment.
Isn't the din hagomer should be up there, not down here?
We don't know. I mean, sometimes the Kadosh Baruch Hu punishes tzaddikim in this world in order, completely in this world, fully in this world, so that they should go to Olam Haba, and Olam Haba they have no restrictions, no limitations whatsoever. So Kitzidko, I will thank Hashem when the Kadosh Baruch Hu will ultimately bring the full mishpat. Now, when I see the wicked people be punished, that's not a full mishpat, that's a partial mishpat. So I'm not going to give HaKadosh Baruch Hu the full shevach. I will only praise Hashem, I'm not going to praise you, David says. It's, my praise is going to be limited. I'm only going to give you the full praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu when you exercise your full mishpat at some point in time. But now, although I witness there is mishpat, it's a partial mishpat. This is a very interesting principle that is discussed in the Hashkafa Sfarim. There's a mishpat gomor and there's a mishpat she'enoi gomor. Just like there's a tzaddik gomor and a tzaddik she'enoi gomor. There's a rasha gomor and a rasha she'enoi gomor. Zelu mazel, there's a mishpat gomor, mishpat she'enoi gomor. Now this is not to be confused with the principle of a person having multiple dinim. Chazal said a person is judged many times. He's judged every single day. He's judged every Rosh Chodesh. He's judged on Rosh Hashanah. He's judged when he dies. He's judged even every year on Yom HaKippurim, in Rosh Hashanah, in Shemayim, on the yard site. And then there's a judgment on the Yom HaDin HaGadol, Las Lavo. So that concept doesn't mean that there's, all that means is things are always changing. Whatever legacy a person leaves over in this world, it's always in the flux. There's always things that the person plants seeds in this world, and the seeds that he plants in this world are always causing change, and a person always has to be reevaluated. Like there's a famous chazal that says that a person came back from the other world, or he sent the message, whatever this all means, and he said that he saw in Shemayim people that were already in Gan Eden, in the Hilton, in the Plaza, the Pierre, okay, the Waldorf of Gan Eden. You know, in Gan Eden, there's the Waldorf of Gan Eden. Like over here, there's the Hilton of New Jersey, the Hilton of Parsippany, and there's the Waldorf of Yerushalayim. So in Gan Eden, there's the Waldorf of Gan Eden, and there's the Hilton of Gan Eden, and there's the Motel 6 of Gan Eden. Everyone gets to go to a different, care by sight, by sight. Everyone gets to go to a different hotel in Gan Eden. So he writes there in his Chazal that there's a person that was imamish in the Waldorf. I don't know what's the considered to be today the five star, all the rules of Chesnish, whatever is the spitz of Gan Eden, the Ola. He was there for 300 years, and then one day they get a knock, gets a knock on the door, and they drag him out of the Waldorf of Gan Eden, and they bring him to Gehenna. Why? Because the seeds that he planted in this world have blossomed. And they've blossomed into wickedness. The person did something in this world, it took 300, an act that was not proper, and it took 300 years for what he did to finally develop and blossom into something which causes other people great pain and suffering. And therefore, they rejudged him 300 years later, and they dragged him out of his abode in Shemayim, and they brought him to Gan Eden. So that's a different principle. A person is always being judged every day. Chagmar says every day, every month, every year, when he dies, every yard site. And La'asalava, there's the Yom Hadin HaGadol, which is divided into other parts as well.
The problem is he doesn't get feedback. That's the problem.
What do you mean? We don't know how things work. We don't know what goes on there.
That's the problem. So you don't know how to correct yourself if you don't know.
We don't know how things work.
I know.
So what? Who knows? I have no idea what's going on.
What's the din
gomer?
So that's not what this means over here. A person.
Why here, David? He's. What are we going to be thanking Hashem for? What are we going to be Azamra singing for? When the wicked get punished. I mean, there's nothing better that we could be thanking and praising Hashem for, you know, good things that He does for the tzaddikim. Why is He harping, first of all?
There's no contradiction.
And secondly, this is not now. I mean, the loss of Gotham was the final Din Gomer.
You gotta have a plan. You have that perspective.
Nothing practical for you right now.
There is.
Nothing to thank Hashem for now.
Oh, yeah.
In other words,
in the future,
when there's a Gemar Din, we also go vote.
So oh, there, I will thank Hashem. You're right. You are saying and making a very good point that over here, David is based on, according to Rashi, you can't deny what Rashi says. I'm not going to thank you now, Hashem.
Yeah.
That's it. I'm holding Hashem hostage.
Yeah,
Hashem, you want praise? No praise for me. You're going to have to wait, Hashem.
Yeah.
You're going to have to wait until you punish the wicked completely, a gomor, a mishpat gomor.
And what am I
going
to be thanking and praising and for punishing the wicked?
Why can't I be praising Hashem now, knowing that He's going to eventually get...
That's not what Rashi says. That's not
the
simple...
When
Hashem? No, not that He will. It's not that He will. The word kishayatzik means when. When? Kish with a chaf, with a shvo, always means when. Time. Ki sheyatzik hadin hagamur lishpoit harishaim ki rishasam. Then Hashem, I will praise you.
Why then I'll praise? I'm praising now.
Doesn't say that. Not in this passage.
Hold on.
Doesn't say that here.
Why can't I praise something knowing that
He will do that?
Yeah,
but that's not the translation of the word. Yeah, I understand.
What you're saying is good. This. You know, I have here. I think even have over here. Rabbi Besser. Rabbi, Shaul Besser. He's one of Art School's today's top writers. He writes a lot. So he put out about a year ago a book on Nishmas. Nishmas today became, especially among the Noshim Tzidkaniyos, a new thing. Anayazach.
Mm-hmm.
There used to be, you say, Perek Shira. Remember those days?
Yep.
What's Perek Shira? Who ever heard of Perek Shira? A whole new. Then it became an industry, a multi-million dollar industry of beautiful color books.
Mm-hmm.
Now became a new industry, a new industry called Nishmas.
Mm-hmm.
Nishmas, to write Svama Nishmas. And it's a segula. We live now in a generation of segulas that if a person has, someone found a Maimon Chazal, someone found from somewhere, that if a person, Rachmana Litzlan, has a problem, then you should praise Hashem, give Hashem a loan. Praise Hashem for the salvation in advance. Person has a problem, so this is what it says, this is what they say, that's what it says in the book. He's supposed to imagine that the problem already has been solved. The person has a child that needs a shidduch, so you should say nishmas, make believe the child already found the zivug, and the same way you would react, you would be molei v'godush, overflowing with praise to Hashem, when that day comes and the child finds a zivug, why wait for it to happen? Say Nishmas today, in advance, and that will be a segula that it shall already happen. That's the world we live in today. We live in the world of segulas. The yisem li am segula. Okay, so now it became a new solution. This is better. I think this is much better than you know, the solutions of just, you know, doing other things that require no effort. This, at least you have to have an effort. You have to at least stop it. So he says, say Nishma. So people, they publish Svarim already on this thing. So he talks about Nishmas. And exactly, this new industry is basically what you're saying. It's exactly what you're saying, is that a person should praise Hashem al-Heosid. There is something called tefillah kodem letzara. That's time from time immemorial. That's a chazal. That's not a segula. From time immemorial, there's a principle that a person should pray kodem letzara. Every day we say rifa'enu. Every day we say baruch aleinu. Even if a person is doing very well in parnasa, person baruch Hashem is blessed with good health. You say rifa'enu, hilas Hashem. That in essence is a tefillah kodem letzara. Pray to Hashem, you're davening, you're begging Hashem, don't get sick. And the way you, the words that we use are as if we're sick, but it's a tefillah kodem letzara. In Parashas Lech Lecha, when Avraham passed by Ai, he was traveling Lech Lecha me'artzecha, when he came into Eretz Yisrael, he passed by the city of Ai, and he davened. Rashi on the Pasuk says, everyone got the Lech Lecha, Rashi says that Avraham al-Pi Ruach HaKodesh, he saw the battle of Ai, the battle of Ai, where 36 men of Klal Yisrael were killed, died in battle, which Chazal say, in one interpretation, only one person died, Osniel ben Kenaz, who was Shakul Kenegan, the majority of the Sanhedrin, which is made up of 70 people, and Avraham saw that there would be a battle of Ai, and there would be casualties, and it would shake up Klal Yisrael to its core, and it was mispalel. He was misspelled. This is already how many years before it happened? 2,000 years? I don't know the numbers. 1,000 years, 2,000 years before it happened. He was misspelled. Rashi there says that if Avraham would not have been misspelled, if he would have not have been misspelled before the tzara, lo nishtayer misoneihem shel Yisrael sodinu polit, which is a euphemism, not even one person from Klal Yisrael would have survived if not for the tefillah, the prayer, kodem letzara.
So you know that the refuah comes before the
mach. The refuah, that's a different principle. That's another principle. But this idea, to the best of my knowledge, this idea that a person should sing the praise of salvation before the salvation, I'm not aware there's any chazal that says this. And this is something which in the Hakdama to the new books that have been printed in for Nishmas is something which is in the world of Segulois. It's not from chazal, to the best of my knowledge. It's not that a person should already sing Hashem's praises and say Nishmas, which is an awesome nusach. Also, you should know, it's a tremendous chiddush, because Nishmas is not from the ksuvin. It's not from Tanakh. Anything from Tanakh is infinitely more potent than something that has been composed by a human being, no matter who it is. No matter who it is, there's no comparison. No comparison saying Tehillim to saying Nishmas. Nishmas is infinitely more potent than saying Nishmas. Because Tehillim was written al pi Ruach HaKodesh, and it's part of Tanakh. Nishmas was written by a human being. We don't know exactly who wrote it. There's a legend that it was written by the person who saved Klal Yisrael by joining, going undercover in disguise to take away the Christians, to take them away to...
But don't you have to say Nishmas?
For Pesukei Dezimra, on Shabbos, if you don't say it, you must say it. Yeah, you must say it. I mean, you don't have to. The truth is, it's an ikar. What it means is that a person has no choice but to skip. Let's say a person, Chas v'Shalom, comes late to Shul, or let's say the amount of time they allocate for Pesukei Dezimra is physically is impossible. It's impossible to say all the Pesukei Dezimra in the time allocated to say Pesukei Dezimra, and you have to skip. So then there are rules of what you should skip.
Right.
So Nishmas is priority number one. You don't skip. But let's say you mamish push for time, and you have to say it's much more important to say Kriyashma, and to say Davin Tefillah B'Tzibur with the B'Tzibur. That's a separate rule of when it comes to skipping. What are the rules of omitting things in Pesukei Dezimra? And Nishmas is not something you're allowed to omit, period. But nevertheless, Nishmas is Nishmas, and Tehillim is Tehillim. And there's a new thing going on today in society, and check it out, especially amongst the Nashim tzidkanios, which is wonderful, and nothing in the hook. How could someone ever say something bad about praising Hashem? Is to praise Hashem in advance. It's a beautiful thing to do. To the best of my knowledge, there is no makar for this in halacha. There's a makar for this in Yonei Hashkafa, in the world of segulos. You're going into a different world when you embrace these type of things. And there's no harm done, no harm done. If this is our Messiah, fine. But this pasuk in Rashi appears to be a contradiction to this principle, which is not a problem. Rashi, not everything Rashi says is la halacha, but over here, if you read the words on the face value, oideh is the future tense. Oideh, I will praise Hashem kitzidko. Rashi, ki she yatzdik hadin hagamur lishvot harishoyim kirishon kirishon, and Rashi, then I will praise you, Hashem. That's also, you know, it's a pledge. When a person makes a pledge, it's pretty good. It shakes you up. If you go to shul and they have an appeal, and you're shamed into a pledge of $1,000 because you got to keep up with the Joneses, you know, for the rest of the week you're oismensch because it bothers you. You pledge. You have to keep your word. You got to keep your word. You make a pledge. Making a pledge is a pretty valuable thing. David here is making a pledge, but it does not say here anywhere. At least in this pasuk, maybe you'll find other pasukim, that David at this moment in time is praising Hashem for his mishpat. I'm going to wait until you do yours. When you do yours, I will do mine, and I pledge to do so. I pledge to pay my debts. All right. Whatever he made a pleasure, made an eder, and that's according to Rashi. Rashi says he was punished. The whole mice of Dina, he didn't pay back his pledge right away. Yaakov Avinu, he had a pledge, and he was taken to task. Why don't you pay your pledge? You're delaying. You should return to Eretz Yisrael to pay your pledge. Okay, now that concludes this.
Praised Hashem for four stages of his life, I think it says, but they were always after the fact. Thanking, you know, for when he was born, the most difficult time, etc. After the fact.
Right? The four stages of life. When you're young, what are the four stages? When you're young, you think that everyone is thinking about you, right? Everyone is watching me and thinking about me and understanding my life. Then you get a little bit older and you become a little rebellious. I don't care what they think. I don't care what they think. Who cares? I'll do things my way. Let them all go and rot. Who cares about them? Then you get older, third stage of life. Guess what? They're not thinking about me, period. And then you get older and you realize, guess what? They don't think, period. You got that? The four stages of life. When you're young, you're concerned. How you dress, how you look. Everyone is looking at me. Thinking about me the whole day. The whole day they're thinking about me. Then you get older, I don't care what they think about me. That's right, they're thinking about me, but I'll do things the way I like. And then you get older, guess what? They're thinking, but they're not thinking about me, period. And then you realize, people don't even think, period. Not about you, not about someone else. Okay, the four stages of life. But going back over here, this concludes this mizmar.
That's what they say, that the Rebbe, what is the donkey thinking when he bends down? And
what is the donkey? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So yeah, it's a donkey. Donkey doesn't
think. Okay, but now what we have over here is, so this concludes this mizmar. I just want to do just one or two Mamar Chazal, even though there's so many golden nuggets over here, but we have to go forward to mizmar test. But the basis is just to review the basic set of this mizmah. This mizmah we learn over here starts off with the Shigoyon LeDavid Asher Shor LaHashem Al Divrei Chush Ben Yemini. He's using here in this mizmah, so we started today. David is using his personal experience with Shaul and himself as an example for David's whole life, of all the enemies that are trying to pursue him. Shaul pursued David. He tried to kill David. And not only that, he tried to kill anyone that was associated with David, because if you're with him, then that means you're part of him. And David pleaded his innocence. I did nothing to him. There's no reason for this. And he did, and he, in the beginning of the Mizmor, he does mention that he does something very, very novel, very, very noble, by saying that in my escape from Shaul, I made one of two mistakes. Either, according to some Farshim, I made a mistake that when Shaul actually died, I was thrilled. I thanked Hashem that finally my enemy has come to an end. That was how we learned when we beginning of the Mizmor. I think there's an important parallel between the beginning of the Mizmor and the end of the Mizmor. According to the similar interpretation, Rashi has three interpretations. It was that David cut the corner of the garment of Shaul. Shaul was pursuing David. David had the opportunity to kill him, to eliminate him, and instead David, when he cut the corner of his garment, and then from a distance he says, "Shaul, what happened to your tzitzis? What happened to your garment? Look what I got. I have your fourth corner. You were sleeping, you were in the Beis Akisei. I came into your camp, and look, I went and I could have killed you and I didn't. So you see, I have no bad feelings towards you. Why are you trying to harm me?" That was one shot. But the other interpretation we learned, Rashi said, was that when Shaul died, David rejoiced. And not only did he rejoice, he praised Hashem for Shaul's elimination. David, at the end of his life, realizes that was a mistake. Shigoyon. Even though it's true that his life was in jeopardy, but you don't sing over Binfol Oivecha Al Tismach. And when it comes to the level of Shaul, certainly when Shaul, Bechir Hashem, Mishichma Ulamallah, Gadol Mikolish, certainly you don't rejoice over the death of Shaul. And that's dangerous. You know why that's dangerous? Because if you'll take that literally, then you'll apply it to every Tom, Dick, and Harry that tries to kill you. And out there in the world, there are a lot of wicked, thoroughly wicked people that are trying to kill us. And what happens is, Hashem has rachmanis upon us every so often, and these wicked people are eliminated. So we'll say, "Oh, Baruch Hashem, they're gone." And you know what? I don't want to gloat over their demise. If you notice, the entire second half of this Mizmor is no. When it comes to people on the caliber of Shaul, then it was a Shigoyon LeDavid Asher Shor. He sang to Hashem on the Mapala Al Divrei Chush Ben Yimini. But when it comes to other types of wicked people that don't come anywhere near, who don't hold a candle to Shaul, then you should rejoice. Don't make any mistake about it. And that's how the Mizmor. Look at the parallel between the end of the Mizmor and the beginning of the Mizmor. Shigoyon LeDavid Asher Shor Asher Al Divrei Chush Ben Yimini. Look at that Rashi, the middle of the Rashi. The first thing over here, the Garash, the same parish, Loshon Mishka, Shenisvadov, on the third line on page 50. The third line on page 50 and 50 in Rashi. But I'm a same parish, this is Rashi's second interpretation. They explain, Loshon Mishka, Shenisvadov, David now confessed, Vinisvadov, he prayed for Hashem for forgiveness. Al Hashigoyoin, Sha'amar Shira, he said Shira, Al Mapalosa Shal Shol. That's, he thanked Hashem. What's the last pasuk? The last pasuk, Oide Hashem. I'm going to thank you, Hashem, when the Rishonim come to an end. Wait a minute. David said that it's a Shigoyoin to thank Hashem when people who try to kill you come to an end. Contradiction. Shaul, in David's mind, was wicked. I mean, why not? If someone's trying to kill you for a crime that you did not commit, I mean, how more wicked could you be? Shaul wiped out Noivir HaKohanim. Shaul caused enormous grief to the Givonim. Shaul caused enormous grief to David. For what? What did I do to you? I did nothing to you. What are you trying to kill me for? He would have killed me. What are you trying to do to me? So David says, even though my enemy, a person who's totally out of control, is trying to kill me, you don't sing to Hashem praise that he has been eliminated. And I made that mistake. I did. Shigoyon l'David asher shol Hashem al divrei chush b'yemini. Rashi, Rabbi Sein l'perush, loshen mishkev shenisvado. He confessed, v'nispalel. He prayed for forgiveness al hashigoyon sh'omar shira al ma'apolos asher shol. And then at the end of the Mizmar, David is referring to all of his enemies. All of the enemies. There must be some holy enemies out there as well. And he says, Oideh Hashem ki tzidkoi vazamra shem Hashem elyon. Hashem, when you will wipe out the wicked people in this world, boy, will I sing to you. David, you didn't learn from your mistakes. The most important thing in life is to learn from your mistakes. That is the difference between a fool and a chacham. Ein tzadik v'oretz asher yastav lo yechata. What's the difference? Everyone makes a mistake. Everyone makes major mistakes. The only difference is the wise man, he learns from his mistakes and does not repeat the mistakes. The tittish, the fool, does the same thing again and again. David said, man, saying, over here, he's repeating his mistake. My hai. That's exactly the point. There are different types of enemies. You have to know nothing in this world is black and white. No such thing. There are different types of enemies. There's an enemy like Shaul. Shaul is the Bechir Hashem. No, he made a mistake, Shaul. He made a mistake. Then there are the real Rishoyim. Those people, you sing to Hashem. Then I like, you have to be able to machalek between the two. I told this a couple of times. So this made an impression upon me. People in life, they make two mistakes. Yeah, many people. People are brought up in a Haredi community. Okay, in a Haredi community. And they're brought up that the Gedolei Yisrael are infallible. That's what they teach children. Yeah. And it's a good thing. What's so bad? You teach them that the Gedolei Yisrael of our generation, they don't make anything. They're perfect. Perfect. They're Malachi Elokim. They have no struggles. They have no Yetzahara. Or they have big Nisyonas, whatever, however. And they always make the right decision. And then what happens? What happens? You get a little bit older, and you get to know some of these people firsthand. And the biggest of the big, the biggest of the big, and you develop a relationship with them, and then you discover
they're human.
No, more than human, they're evil. I don't mean evil. I don't mean evil. I mean. They're not perfect. Not that they're human. Human beings, of course, they're human. They have problems.
They have
more than Yetzirah. They have problems. They have issues.
Agendas.
They have agendas. Well, not in the big sense. There are problems. Let's be very nasty now. Ooh. There are problems. So what do you say? But these are the Gedolei Yisrael. These are people that are on the top. The top. Open up the magazine every single week. There's a Shabbaton somewhere in some hotel somewhere. Who are the guest speakers? You'll see the lineup. It's always pretty much like you can make a pool of 25, 30 people. Today you go, who are the big people today? The big inspirational, the big Rosh Yeshiva, they're all different categories. They are the Rosh Yeshivas, they are the doctors, and they are the inspirational speakers, right? Every event, you have Das Torah. Das Torah, the big Rosh Yeshivas. Das Torah. Then you have the professionals. Okay? No, the professionals, the people, they're not the biggest Talmidei Chachamim, but these are the people that are the doctors, the lawyers who are in the know and work with the Gedolei Yisrael. And then there's a category of inspirational speakers. They're not from the Gedolei Yisrael, they're not from the professionals, they don't have any licenses in practicing medicine, in practicing law. But they're inspiration, they have a talent of knowing how to inspire, right? Okay, so then you get a little bit old and you realize, I know the Rosh Yeshivas. I know there are things that are problematic. So now is where you make, so what is, there are two mistakes. The first mistake is here. What is the first? The first mistake is that you really believe until a certain point in your life that they're Malachi Elokim. person is brought up, and that's really how it should be.
Oh, no.
Wait, let me say my piece, then you'll argue with me. We're not talking about Scholzen now. No Scholzen. I don't want to hear Scholzen. Scholzen doesn't go over there. I want to tell you the first thing. This is the way it is. In the yeshiva katana, in the Haredi world, they promote this idea that the Gedolei Yisrael are infallible. And then, when you get a little bit older, you realize that's a mistake. It's not true. Human beings, even Gedolei Yisrael, are not perfect. And sometimes there can even be serious issues and things that are lacking. So it turns out, wow, look at that, I made a mistake. I've been living for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, thinking they're perfect. And wow, now I realize I made a mistake. I was fooled. They're not perfect. Now comes mistake number two. This made a very big impression upon me years ago when I first heard this. Now you make mistake number two. Being that I have discovered that there's something about their personality or about them, that is not where it should be, it must be that these people, they should be really working for the sanitation department. They're zeros.
They'll make more money.
They're zeros. In my eyes, they're nothings. They're nothings. They're totally finished. That's mistake number two. Even though you have discovered there may be something about them that does not fit, that's not perfect, that's not, they're still Gedolei Yisrael. They are still great, great people. And you have to have the same awe and respect. Bos el ha-shofet asher yiyeh ba-yomim ha-heim ein lecha shofet el-mah she-bi-yamecha. These are the Gedolei Yisrael. Oh, but this Gadol Yisrael, I saw him say Lashon Hara about someone. And it says in the Chafetz Chaim, you don't want to do that. And they said Lashon Hara. Or I know that they took money and they used the money for the wrong purpose, whatever it is. Just because you have discovered a defect, I'm talking about a real defect. It doesn't matter. There's a dip. I'm saying is with balance. Okay? If they went and they did something that's, you know, over the red line, finished. I'm not talking about that. We're talking about, you know, they made a mistake. They made it, whatever it is, everyone has to use that sechel. You don't need me. Everyone has to have more sechel than I have here. You understand? There's a deficiency. There's a defect. Okay. Just because you discovered one defect doesn't mean you have to take them down from their stature and respect and leadership and drag them in the mud. Okay, they have a defect. That's the second mistake. Many people, when they discover that they're not what people who are leaders are not what you think they were, so you go, many people, they go mikotzeh el hakotzeh, they drag him into the mud. Wrong, that's a mistake. You have to have the same awe and respect. They are the Gedolei Yisrael. No, they have problems, so look in the mirror. No one's perfect. They have problems. That made Rosh Hashanah. You see a lot more hot-headed years ago. And when you discover something and you don't like it,
you discover that a human being.
No, it's more than you. That would be good already. You discover they're human beings. A human being. Sometimes you discover something. You discover something that you feel to be really, really problematic.
But that's why they did it.
I'm not talking about problematic in regard to arayos, okay, dealing with noshim. I'm not talking about things like that that get into the news. Okay, I'm not talking about people or rabbis who put a camera in the mikvah, in the women's mikvah. Okay, I'm not talking about that. Okay, I'm not talking about a rabbi that was found stealing $1 million or not reporting taxes for $1 million. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about you have an expectation of a person of a certain nobility. You have a Rosh Shiva and you have a certain expectation of a degree of nobility, and you see it's lacking. Okay, so it's lacking. He is still the Gadol he always was. And to make a mistake, and once you're disappointed that he doesn't meet your expectations, and therefore to totally discredit him, it's a very common thing. It's a common phenomenon. That is wrong. A gadol is a gadol. If this person is a gadol, did he go put a mikvah in a woman's mikvah? No, he didn't do that. He's still a gadol. He didn't meet your expectation of certain props. Obviously, you know, the madregas. Someone is caught red-handed. You put him in jail. We're not talking about that. We're talking about meeting your expectation of a very high degree of nobility. No, so we don't have that prat. He's still a gadol. He still knows kolat harakula. He still is a thoughtful leader for Klal Yisrael. Don't go and drag him into the mud. This is the Yisrael. Over here we have over here, David HaMelech over here is coming over here. At the beginning and the end of the Mizmar is very important. The beginning of the Mizmar is something more personal. Rashi, in fact, alluded to this. Okay, he alluded to this. In the beginning of the Mizmar, he asked the question, what's going on? If this whole Mizmar is about David and Shaul, how come at the end of the Mizmar we are describing the nations of the world? David's enemies at large. So first of all, it's a segue. You can simply just say over here is that David, as we started the game, is like the Haggadah. Haggadah is a book. Is a book. Everybody say. Haggadah is a book that you can use as a base for a lot of things. So too, David is using his experience in dealing with Shaul as a training ground to deal with the world at large. David, when he was young, before he was king, he had an enemy. And the experience of dealing with one person was a training ground for what he would need to do later in life when he would deal with nations that are enemies. And we could learn from this to go even further, the world at large, to deal with those who... There's a training ground. It's like a sandbox. The computers, when you want to try out your code, you put it in the sandbox. It's basically, you know, it's an experiment. That's the civil shot. It was a segue from the yachid to the larger scale, to go global, to go at least national or international. But on another level, it's very interesting that the first pasuk and the last pasuk are really contradictory. The first pasuk, I made a mistake that I was rejoiced over the defeat of my enemy. And in pasuk, the last pasuk, Hashem, when you will eliminate my enemy, I will praise you like never before. Contradiction. The answer is, there are different types of enemies. Be careful. You're dealing with the Goyim, they are real enemies. When they are defeated, rejoice, praise Hashem. But when Shaul made a mistake, he made a mistake and tried to kill David, murder him. He made a mistake, he wiped out Noiv, Irak, Oyhanim. He made a mistake. Shaul is still the God of Hadar. Shaul is the Bechir Hashem, the chosen of Hashem, that never goes away. He is the chosen of Hashem. He mishich ma'olam Allah. But he's a murderer. So what? He's the Gadol Hadar. Okay, obviously today in the 21st century, you're not going to say a murderer is the Gadol Hadar, obviously. But show who he was, the Bechir Hashem. Don't make it. Shigoyon l'David. I should even have a half a minute to have simcha. Shigoyon. But when it comes to everyone else, all these shmegagis out there, these mishigoyim out there who want to kill us, these crazy lunatics out there, Hashem, do us a favor, get rid of these crazies. I will thank you. Oides Hashem. You've got to be very careful to know your cast of characters. And especially when you're dealing with people that are acknowledged as Gedolei Yisrael, stand out. If the world acknowledges people as being Gedolim, then don't be so swift to discredit who they are. Okay, we'll have to stop up here. Tomorrow, Misha, we're going to go to Mizmar Ches.
It's also what you're praising and how you're praising.
Okay, that's another approach.
It's crazy.
praising him for what he did for him, not for the beer that we fell again.